and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. We're in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's take the usual time to remember that it's critical that we lay aside that which would blunt our experience here this evening, these opportunities to come together under face-to-face teaching and receive spiritual information and admonition are very precious, and we who are positive in these times do not take this for granted. So let's keep ourselves in fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your mercies are renewed to us each and every day. You remain the same as you were yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that we have your word, which all will be upheld and vindicated in every way. And we thank you that we can be here and be challenged by these verses and the admonitions of the great apostle. In Christ's name, amen. All right, these verses are a unit as a lead-in to, first, a listing of spiritual gifts and other things and admonitions. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Notice mercies is in the plural. This is grace in action. And the mercies of God include a whole variety of things that God does for us as believers in Jesus Christ, especially those who are positive and moving forward. We're under the mercies of God. And that's all the different types of blessings and support of any kind you can name. All of God's promises, all of it. These are the mercies of God. To present your bodies, that's your physical person, the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, your bodies, a living and holy sacrifice. A sacrifice is something set apart unto God under the law of Moses, the sacrifice of whatever it was that was offered up in accordance with the priestly code of ancient Israel. These sacrifices often were animals, more often than not, and the sacrifice itself was killed, slaughtered, to illustrate the person and work of Jesus Christ. All the animals were clean animals by definition, and for instance, Christ is called the Lamb of God. The most ubiquitous and common of all the sacrifices in Israel was a young lamb. They offered up a lamb offering at the tabernacle and temple in the morning offering and the evening offering to start the day and to end the day. And then there were all these offerings that are listed there in the book of Leviticus that involved a variety of different domesticated animals that were qualified. But here the believer is a living sacrifice, alive. You're alive, right? You can determine that this evening real quick. You are alive physically. You may not feel great, but you are alive. You are living. And a holy sacrifice. A holy sacrifice is whenever we are in fellowship, doing what we're supposed to do, having the right mental attitude, whatever the environment that we are found in, the local church, at work, at school, at home, at play, at whatever it is. That is, when you are in fellowship, you are presenting yourself as a holy sacrifice, and this is acceptable to God. You can't improve on that. Regardless of your level of spiritual growth, a baby believer, an adolescent believer, or a mature believer, you are acceptable to God. Right then and there. Yes, there's room for spiritual growth, but still, you are acceptable to God. A babe in Christ, a new believer that's been informed about rebound and getting fellowship, that believer lacks a lot of understanding of a lot of things because, by definition, they are new to the game. But they are acceptable to God, phase two wise. And, of course, we are to keep perpetuating that. In order to perpetuate that and keep it rolling, two things have to be in place, at least. One, you have to keep yourself in fellowship. In a whole variety of situations you may find yourself in, pleasant and unpleasant, here and there. So this is what makes you and I acceptable to God. And the other thing you need, of course, is, and that's coming up in our next verse, what you need is continual exposure to Bible doctrine. You need to be here. You need to be in class, and you need to make this your MPR, most pressing responsibility. I know there are times when you can't make it. We're not talking about that. If it's something to do with health or some other factor, I understand that. That's legitimate. You didn't do anything wrong. Yes, people can plan better. They can say, "This is class night. Let's get everything ready so we can hit the road and be here at a reasonable time." And I'm not picking on anybody if you're late from time to time. If you're late, show up anyway. I had a guy in the past, he drove clear from Edmond, came flying over here, had a business, would get a customer at the last minute around closing time because he set his business up so he could close, so he could make the 30-minute or so jaunt to get here. But sometimes he got caught. He'd just come sit in the foyer and get 3/4 of the class. This is what you got to do. Which is your spiritual service of worship, which I prefer, as I put in brackets here, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. This is doable. This isn't something that's over anybody's head. It isn't beyond anybody. No matter what their status quo is in the world, economically, physically, age-wise, race-wise, add to the list. This is your reasonable service to God. And it all comes together and gets its momentum from being here, being in class. We've made provision over the years. If you miss, you can make it up. Now we have YouTube so far. Till I mention something that sets them off. God knows what that might be. But anyway, that's in God's hands. We still have our webpage. We still have the ability for people to get information. We still have hardly anybody that gets cassettes, gets CDs. But they're available. It's all available. Past studies are available. Past information. I remember when I first got on doctrine, I couldn't get enough. I could not get enough. The minute I got it, the big old tape, reel-to-reel tapes back in the in the early 70s. The minute I'd get my order in, I'd put another one in the mail. And of course, I had this big player, and you had to play deal. We used it. We used that same technology in the beginning here at Maranatha Church when we were a cash and carry church, when we were renting and moving, had to move from time to time before we settled it on this property. All right. So the spiritual service of worship is to be taken as any legitimate activities that a believer might engage in. You are to take your priesthood and your ambassadorship. You're an ambassador for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? If you don't, look it up. An ambassador goes to another country and represents the interests of his country to that other government. Ambassador. And you are an ambassador for Christ in your workplace, in whatever place it is, in whatever environment it is. You need to take stock of the situation. People around you may be acting this way, and then they will. Because you will notice, if you're observant, you will notice that they are not an often saying and espousing outside of this is what we got to do to get this project done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everyday stuff, the way they refer to everything and on their problems, this and that. It is not seasoned with divine viewpoint. There may be some establishment norms and standards about right and wrong behavior. But you are in an environment. You don't have to speak up. You don't have to correct them. But if they ask or they're in your face with it, you give them the divine viewpoint. Be led of the Holy Spirit, be in fellowship, and give them the divine viewpoint. Well, they'll just hate me all the more. Well, so what? They hated Jesus for what he had to say. They couldn't refute it. But that's another story. All right. An essential adjunct to acceptable service, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed with the negative, present imperative, that means it's an order, present passive imperative, of the verb, you can probably catch some English word in here, schematic. I don't know. Sus schematizomai. Be conformed to something. Also found in First Peter 1:14, which I forgot what that was. A similar thing. This one has being conformed to the external cosmos. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts that drove and ran your life. That's your pre-salvation situation. Do not be conformed to your former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. Which were yours in your ignorance. Okay, you have somewhat of an excuse. You didn't know any better. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also, in all your behavior. Because just as it is written, when God's speaking to Israel there from the Leviticus, you shall be holy, for I am holy. One of his attributes is holiness. It's a combination of his righteousness and his perfect justice. Do not be conformed to this world. The word world isn't what you might expect. It has the definite article. It is not our word cosmos. It's word aion, aion. And it means the present age. the present shape of things. It brings it down to a particular point where believers are living in a particular time and place in history. Do not be conformed to the status quo that's out there. That's what he's saying. It doesn't mean you have to be weird. You don't have to be antisocial so much. But you are not to be conformed to their priorities, their view of things, the way they view it. Because they have things, a lot of things out of order. Because they don't have God and His Word in them, so they operate from their sin nature and from the human viewpoint, and they mimic and carry on with what others are thinking and doing. They're not being, well, move on. But be transformed. Strong adversity conjunction, but Allah, but be transformed. A command. We have our word metamorphosis. This is a metamorphomai. Be transformed. It's also in Matthew 7:2 and the parallel Mark 9:2 of Jesus' transfiguration. So it was used there of the physical overt transfiguration of our Lord up on Mount Tabor in the presence of His disciples, His three disciples He took with Him, who got to witness that event. Hey, how about that for a gathering? Jesus, Peter, James, and John, two brothers and Peter, and Moses and Elijah got to come out from their place in the center of the earth in paradise, and they were out there chatting or talking with Jesus. And the disciples are, I can only imagine what I would be, standing there, and Jesus was transformed and exuding all this light and glory for the period of time that it was, and then it ended just like that, just like it started. They got to experience that. So that was a transformation, a supernatural transformation in His natural body that took place there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then it was reset back to the normal thing. But here, this transformation is by the renewing of your mind. The renewing, anakinosis. It means to renew, a renewal. It's a noun. Looks like it might be, but it's a noun. The renewal, also here in Titus 3:5, that word. The renewing of your nous, mind, thinking. The thinking, your outlook, your viewpoint, how you evaluate stuff when you observe it and hear it and experience it. And as a result of the intake of Bible doctrine, you have the renewing of your mind. This renewal is ongoing. So that, this will be the result. So that, indicating result, so that you may prove is the present infinitive, dokimazo. It means to discern what the will of God is. So that you may discern what, pronoun tis, what the will, thelema, the will of God is. And then the will of God is broken out as in a series of adjectives, three adjectives. And you can describe the will of God as that which is intrinsically good, agathos. There's a couple Greek words for good. This means something that is intrinsically good. And acceptable, euaristos, acceptable or pleasing. Either way you could translate that, pleasing to God, acceptable to God, either way. And God, I have this one in there, the word perfect, teleos, complete or perfect. So that's the goal here, believers. One, an adjunct is something joined or added to another thing. The title of the verse, I gave it. In this verse, there are two imperatives, one negative and one positive. The negative is a prohibition, which has to do with the cosmos, or in more specifically, or the particular age believers happen to live in. For always remember that the present age, like those before us, is evil. It hasn't gotten better. It hasn't changed at all. There are better societies, obviously. There are better societies, but still, when you start looking at it close, it leaves a lot to be desired. The present age is evil. Let me see here. Not 14, 4, 4. I beat you. Maybe I didn't, huh? Who gave himself, Christ, for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, the present age, the present time frame, Roman Empire, all around, evil proliferates in various forms. And that Satan is the god of the cosmos, 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is the devil's playground. We know it all too well. Let's see if I got that one right. Yeah, I did. Verse 3, that starts the sentence. And even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, something behind a veil, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those that are perishing. Unbelievers, negative unbelievers. In whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. People in the cosmos, no matter how intelligent they are putty in his hands. He plays them like a fiddle, to use another analogy. Has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. That's the general cosmos here. They don't get it. They're just running amok in unbelief, and they fall prey to all the different schemes and ideologies and concepts that happen to be afoot in a particular age, in a particular civilization. Look around you. You don't have to look very far. They don't think like you do. Hopefully you're doing the right thing. But if you want to be conformed, then be conformed. Be a cosmos type. Be a traitor to the plan of God as a believer. 5, the dark side influences negative volition with the doctrine of demons. We are so well aware of that. In the last days, believers will fall prey to satanic propaganda, like they always did before. They fall prey to it. I'm not saying these people are intelligent. They got a lot of, on a certain level, they have a lot of good qualities. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's pathetic. It's beyond pathetic. It's destructive, and it's leading to their eternal ruination. But the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, there some will fall away from the faith. Now, the word some might sound like somebody, a few. No. Some is a word that does not have anything to do with, it's the opposite of the whole, but it can be the majority, will fall away from the faith. This is believers. This is the standard now. And we are deep into this latter days thing and latter times things. We are deep into it, and the falling away is unreal. From principles and things that they once held dear. And we're talking about Christians, the church, falling away from the faith. The faith is technical for the body of truth. Falling away from it. Piecemeal. Piece by piece by piece. Falling away. Falling back. Oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to teach that. It's so bad now it isn't funny. They're falling away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons that have infiltrated Christian ranks. And on that goes. This includes false religion and false religious concepts, false doctrines, even denying the true doctrine of the person of Christ, polluting that. It includes false religion, false ideologies, and of what in the general realm of this is Christian. It is in very pathetic in most cases. It really is. And pseudoscientific theories. Well, if you can't get them with religion, you can't get them with that, then get them with fake science. Something not proven by experimentation or repetition. And just run that down on them. And there were Christians who stood up against these false ideas, and now a lot of them have compromised. Well, so here we are. Is it a surprise? They couldn't have done that. They did. Certain unscrupulous types invented this stuff, ginned this stuff up, and then pushed it. And the Bible, guess what? Genesis 1 blows it all out of the water. Genesis 1 stands right up front. Who out there believes that God set everything up in 1 week, one literal week? Well, actually, technically in 6 days. But who believes that? Where'd all this stuff come from? When it was set in place? It's right there. Genesis 1. And it will stand the test of time. And the evil that they put in its place is breaking down and will break down. And it'll all be exposed. To the utter shame of the wisdom of the wise and all of it of us who fell prey to it. The verb conformed occurs here, and as I noted in 1 Peter 1:4, in respect to the lust pattern of the STA. 9. Conformity to the cosmos has to do with a mindset. It doesn't have to do with that you're wearing the style of clothing they're wearing today, unless it... There's certain exceptions to this. You don't have to dress up. You can dress down within reason. It has to do with a mindset. A worldview, an outlook. It is referred to by the term worldliness by Christians. Now, that is distorted by some with legalism, but there is a principle in it. Running with the cosmos, being all wrapped up in their enthusiasms, buying into the current trends of viewpoint about stuff. Look how many I wonder today are just if they're not speaking for it, are doing the cowardly thing and not speaking out against these perversions that are so outrageous and so unbiblical. All you got to do is read your Bible. It comprises any human viewpoint thinking that contradicts divine viewpoint. As in, the Word of God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So that's what we're after. We're after to conform to God's thoughts and His ways. And we need doctrine to do that. And we also have a verse in the Bible that we are told to bring every thought into captivity for Christ. Which that means is, kind of like the old Pac-Man game, if anybody remembers that silly game. You capture something. You hear it, and you analyze it. Now, if it's just neutral information, you know, giving you the weather or telling you that this road's closed or whatever, that's not my, I'm talking about you hearing something and matching it up with doctrine. Does this match up with doctrine? Sound doctrine? No. It includes false priorities and ambitions that violate the operational, what does God want me to do, viewpoint, what does God want me to think about, fill in the blank, and geographical will of God, where does He want me to live? What area does He want me to live in? God changed the geographical will dramatically for Abraham. And Abraham took up his offer. I'm going to make a great nation of you, and all of it, those things in the Abrahamic covenant, give you some real estate for you and your descendants forever, and blah, 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 on and on. Abraham, and he was doing well too. He wasn't some poor down and out guy living in metropolitan Ur of the Chaldees. Southern Iraq. No. He heard it. He didn't. God didn't offer it to his brothers. Or his brother. He had one was living. He didn't offer it to him. He was a believer. He didn't have what it took. Abraham was a man of faith. I'm pulling up stakes. I'm starting a new profession. I'm uprooting everything. Packing it in wagons and going up north, and I don't even know where the country is. He didn't tell me back there. And for 5 years, he didn't hear a peep from God. There's no evidence at all that God said, that a boy, way to go, hang in there. He had to encourage himself and his wife, who had what it took, Sarah. She had what it took. She wasn't yelling and, well, this is our home and it's nice and my family is here and all of our family and blah, 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 blah. No. We're going for the big time. And that's what we're about here at Maranatha. We're going, those of you who are on board with it, I'm not naive enough to think everybody in here is just like, yeah. Most of you are. But if you're under my hearing, I'm trying to win you over so that you're not in the middle ground somewhere halfway between. You're committed. Your eyes are on the truth and God, like Abraham, not on your family or other things. You're outside the church family. You got to live by faith, and you got to do it God's way. That's the operational viewpoint and geographical wills of God. 13, as positive believers, we should constantly monitor all that we are exposed to, bringing every thought into captivity for Christ as per 2 Corinthians 10:5. You hear it in a song. They're expressing a viewpoint. It may be a love song. They're expressing a viewpoint. And you're hearing these words. There's nothing wrong with love songs, except here's this person who is, you know, all strung out because they can't get this other person's attention or win this person or get this person or whatever they're saying. They don't act like we would. It's in God's hands. I'll let Him work it out. So again, conformity to the present age is to pattern our lives after those who are not governed by Bible doctrine. And that includes the vast majority of people running around out there. They may have some people are conservatives. Okay, you're a conservative. That's a lot better than a screaming liberal or a communist. But you are a conservative. But this is what you lack. You don't have that doctrine and that prophetic outlook. You don't have it. So all you can do is be a conservative in politics. And, you know, we prefer that, obviously. But the thing is, you don't have the viewpoint you need. Oh, they may give lip service, or they may talk about how great Jesus is, a few of them. I don't get impressed. You're so impressed with Jesus Christ, why don't you get with His plan? I found it, and I wasn't lucky. But you have these political aspirations and ambitions and all the rest of it, and you want to bring Jesus into it and all the rest of it. Sometimes I don't trust these people either. I'm wondering, are they just trying to ring the bell, the conservative Christians out there? Because they are such suckers. They really are. And they'll use them and then they'll drop them. They'll drop them. If it suits them in their political career. Now. As we live the Christian way of life, our MPR is the maturity adjustment, which involves consistent intake of Bible doctrine in the local church under right pastor. 6, we are not to live our lives, as is the practice of some, by isolating ourselves from society, like, for instance, the Amish. That isn't what he wants us to do. Live in a closed community with all, That's not, and dress a certain way, plain Jane. I'll see one of these type people occasionally out in public, a woman with this knot in the back of her head and this gray outfit and this. They think that's holy. They think any color, any stuff. Oh, and of course you have the other extremes too. Why don't you put some clothes on? You don't look that good anyway. You know? I'll see them. You don't have to look like that. She's a real cutie, isn't she? Look at her. Parading around like that out in public. But that's, you know, that's part of it. So the obvious STA actions associated with the cosmos are to be avoided. These obvious sinful type behavior. 18, the legitimate things of the world we can and should engage in, such as making a living. But that has to be conforming to NPR and what God, where God wants us to work and be at any point in our work history. God opened the job up for you. It's the right place for now, and that's fine. And it can change, but it isn't, you're not violating anything. It's not keeping you from being here, functioning under your spiritual gift. They're not sending you all over the place. Now, some believers have to take some time to learn that. You know? You can't be an airline pilot. You're not going to be home a lot. And that's not even good for family. Such as making a living, raising a family, acquiring possessions, and general appearance. We need to be prayerful in our endeavors, determining what God's will is in all our pursuits, endeavors of all natures. Violating a known doctrinal principle puts the believer out of fellowship. A known principle. I have to be around, you know, my church from time to time. You didn't hear me teach on that? And you've been here since you were knee-high to... And you don't got that right? How do you justify it? Do you justify it? This is not a good witness. It is not a good witness. So attend to your grooming. If it is a violation... I remember there was when I was in Brackett Church, there was a young female there, our age, and she was real hippie looking. She had no makeup. She was real, you know, and just I saw her transformed. Now she wasn't some showgirl, but she transformed herself and she looked great. Like God intended the female of the species to look. I walk around and see these, half their head shaved. Oh, where did you get that idea? This is your glory, your long hair. It's your glory. I didn't make this up. I didn't make this up. I'm pointing this out. I'm not talking about someone who is sick and lost all their hair, okay? I'd go buy a wig, I guess. It's just one principle. Oh, it's just one principle. You know? If everybody's wearing a stupid looking deal, are you going to do it too? Why don't you stand out and do right? Because the coolest kid in school, look, what is he? He's a cosmos type, full of human viewpoint. No. We are to be prayerful. Violating this puts us out of fellowship. Regarding one's external appearance, we are to avoid immodesty, following trends that violate Scripture. There are verses in the Bible that criticize certain things. Advertising questionable things. You know. I'm not going to be wearing some and trying to get a message across. No, if you have your high school deal, okay, fine. You know. Fundies think they got to wear something that tells everybody they're a Christian. Jesus didn't say dress a certain way and advertise and put a big monster cross around your neck and a t-shirt that says I'm blessed that you bought from some... It's your actions and the way you carry yourself and your viewpoint and these other things that is this silent witness to the external world. You can win them without a word. If they're winnable, they're usually not. But at least you're an example. You're an example. And I know this can be distorted, and fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. You have to work it out. You have to figure it out. So the positive command, which we will pick up this coming Sunday, point 22, which I will check right here so I don't make a mistake. We will pick up with the positive command to be transformed. See you Sunday. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit continue to bless genuine positive volition with insight in these last days. In Christ's name. Amen.